Just to finish up on this section, it's easy to understand, for example, why so many of my and many other US colleagues have expressed a lack of enthusiasm for the notion that EU data privacy laws could inhibit the disclosure process, as there are some real-world consequences here, which, again, I expect you all are a lot more familiar with than I am. But I've listed a few on the slide here, including adverse inference instructions, contempt of court, etc. And I understand from my US colleagues that these consequences listed are typically reserved for intentional spoliation under the relevant rules. If there is no intentional conduct, the court may order measures no greater than necessary to cure the prejudice that resulted from it. And although this approach has become standard in litigation, courts don't necessarily uniformly follow it in some circumstances. So as a result, while it's likely that there needs to be intentional conduct to get to the consequences on this slide, it is still possible that a court could order these measures using its inherent authority. So that was part one of this presentation, a very high-level summary of the approach of US courts to foreign data privacy laws and why it matters from the point of view of litigants and litigators in the US. Turning to the second part of this update, namely the privacy challenges under the GDPR and similar laws, in short, what exactly is the problem? Well, the problem that we have here, and I hope this is showing on your slide okay, there's a slight glitch on mine, but the idea is that personal data, first of all, is defined very broadly. Any information relating to an identified or identifiable natural person. And as indicated in some of the materials from one of our previous speakers, this covers data that would be considered by US standards and many other standards quite benign data, name, address, etc. You do not need to be in the territory of national security numbers or anything particularly sensitive for personal data for that box to be ticked. And what applies is the activity of processing this data. So, and processing really has a long definition, but you can think of doing anything with personal data triggers the GDPR if you are a controller subject to the territorial tests. And as you can see on the slide here, it covers everything from collecting to adapting, disclosing, and otherwise using it. So it is a broad scope, and certainly using personal data in the context of responding to a disclosure order would be covered. In terms of the core GDPR compliance requirements, there is a law in the GDPR. It's a long, detailed law. It's one of the most heavily lobbied laws in the history of the European Union, which is saying something. But fundamentally, and whisper this quietly, the core elements of basic compliance generally are quite straightforward. You tell people what you do with their data, number one. Number two, you establish a legal basis to do what you want to do with the data. And third, you comply with certain core principles, as well as restrictions on transferring data outside of Europe. The simplicity ends, I'm afraid, when you start to apply these basic requirements to certain fact patterns. And foreign e-discovery is one of those fact patterns. So first of all, this issue of telling people what you're doing. Notice why we generally have all of these privacy policies over here that had to be updated for GDPR purposes 2 or 3 years or so ago. In the context of e-discovery, if this covers, say, for example, employees of an organization, this generally shouldn't be too much of an issue. Many companies will have standard documentation that they have provided to employees during the onboarding process or otherwise made available to them as part of the organization's suite of policy documents that informs them what the organization collects and what it may do with data about employees. And often this will extend to the use of data in legal proceedings and otherwise. If an organization does not already have such a document in place, then there are other ways of providing notice, often done by through a specific legal hold notice. And organizations, regardless of their standard documentation, may choose to provide more specific information in legal hold and other specific notices. The second issue is, well, what is our legal basis? If we are a company that is subject to the GDPR in Europe, we receive a disclosure order, we're comfortable that we can provide notice to the individuals whose data may be impacted, but what's our legal basis for processing that data?